is Jared and the GM on ESPN 102.5 The Game. GM Derrick Henry is cooking. He is up for the FedEx Ground Player of the Week, and this could be the third week in a row that Henry wins it. Now, technically, it would be the third game in a row because they had the bye week in between, so somebody else won the award. But against the Chiefs, Derrick Henry, Ground Player of the Week. Against the Jags, Derrick Henry, Ground Player of the Week. He's got a real good shot to win it this week after his performance against the Colts. Derrick Henry is third right now in the NFL in total rushing, but just a couple of yards behind Christian McCaffrey and just like 50 yards behind Nick Chubb. And I don't know if you've seen Cleveland lately, but I don't know how much Cleveland is going to be, you know, doing Cleveland things here in the near future. And John Glennon writes on The Athletic, it was a decade ago that former Titans running back Chris Johnson torched NFL defenses, earning the nickname CJ2K after piling up 2,006 rushing yards. Johnson ran away with the league's rushing title that season, outdistancing second-place Steven Jackson of Atlanta by nearly 600 yards. That was the last time a Titan led the league in rushing, although Johnson did finish fourth in 2010 and DeMarco Murray third in 2016. Might Derrick Henry return the Titans to the top of the rushing pile again this season, 10 years after Johnson became just the sixth player to top the 2,000-yard barrier? And it goes over the amount of rushes and the amount of yards and the yards per average and so on and so forth. And while there's a lot of guys that are up there, it feels like Derrick Henry, the way that Derrick Henry has played. And Glennon goes on to compare each guy, Chubb, McCaffrey, Josh Jacobs, who plays for Oakland this week against the Titans, and Dalvin Cook at Minnesota, although Cook just got hurt, so I don't know how much stock you put into Dalvin Cook. I feel like the way Derrick Henry is playing, he might win the league rushing title. How much stock do you put into that? And we've talked a lot about Derrick Henry's never going to be an elite running back because Derrick is not so much a threat in the pass game. But if you're leading the NFL in rushing and you are the league rushing champion and you're taking over games the way Derrick Henry does it, doesn't that make you an elite player?
Well, how are you defining an elite player? I mean, elite like paid-wise, money-wise?
I mean, I'm thinking elite like all-pro. Derrick Henry's probably right now the second-team all-pro. That if the All-Pro voting came out today, Christian McCaffrey would be the All-Pro running back. And I don't know, does the All-Pro team, the first and second teams, do they have two running backs? Because if they have two running backs, Derrick might be first-team All-Pro.
I have no idea. I forgot.
Because he's ahead of Chubb in terms of first-team, second-team All-Pro.
I think this. I mean, it's if you're talking about money, if you're talking about contracts, there are going to be, this is just my opinion, there are going to be a bunch of teams out there that will, if they're given a choice, will pick another back over Derrick solely because of the receiving and you know, being a three-down back. Derrick is going to always be known as a two-down back, mm-hmm. you know, really for one-down back. But and it's hard to pay a one down back, three down back money, mm-hmm. if you will. And so I think when you're talking about those guys, like if somebody had a choice, now this is just me. I'm not saying this is what I would say, but I think there was a vast majority of people in the league that would take, for example, McCaffrey over Derrick simply because all the other stuff he does. You know, I mean,
I'm not arguing that Derrick is behind McCaffrey, but right. I'm just arguing. I mean, there's more than one elite running back in the NFL.
Right. But I think it matters how you define running back. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're talking about just a one down guy, you know, that's not going to carry as much weight as a guy that can do multiple things. And I think that's where, you know, when it comes to evaluating running backs, you know, that's always the debate. Well, you know, I really like this guy. Well, yeah, but he's a one down back. You know, so, you know, it just depends on how you look at it, what you like.
So do you consider Derrick Henry to be an elite player?
Well, that's what I'm saying. Can you put him in the same class with McCaffrey and with those, you know, those guys that also receive?
Yes. I mean, he doesn't receive like they do, but he takes over the game. I mean, he...
So do they. But they also, go, you know, like McCaffrey. McCaffrey is probably their leading rusher and their leading receiver.
Well, they suck.
Well, it doesn't matter. He's when you're looking at guys to say, okay, this is the guy I want on my team. You got the guy at Oakland, the rookie, is probably the leading rusher. Well, I know he's a leading rusher, and I'm not sure where he is in receiving. But
he's behind Tyrell Williams.
Okay, so he's second in receiving. Now, if you want a young running back and you're most of the guys in the league, you're going to be looking at that guy saying, hey, look at what that guy's doing. And that's, I'm not taking anything away from Derek. I mean, I think that's just kind of the way the league looks at it.
So I was thinking about this. Coming into the year, we argued whether or not Derrick Henry was going to be a top five running back. I remember it was one of those like May or June shows. We were out at that golf tournament, the Nashville Golf Open, and we argued whether or not Derrick could be a top five running back. And I remember the guys we were arguing against, and it was Zeke and Le'Veon and Saquon and Kamara and McCaffrey. And we were like, does Derrick fit into that mix? And right now I know Kamara got hurt this year, but right now only McCaffrey is in the same ballpark with Derrick in terms of the production that they have. Zeke is not doing what Derrick's doing. Le'Veon's team might just be awful, and that's why he's not doing it, because I haven't even watched the Jets, yeah. So I don't even know. And Saquon got hurt early, but even Saquon has had a disappointing second year.
The question is the same, though. You know, do you want the guy that can do those multiple things? Is that important to you? And if you're in the league, and it is, then Derek will fall out of favor with that team. Now, if you're a team like we are, you know, with the mm-hmm. Titans, I mean, shoot, Derek's that guy.
No, like if you're a owner and you just say, I want Derrick Henry because I see him run for 90-yard touchdowns, and you are the Arizona Cardinals, and you go to Kingsbury and say, I want Derrick Henry. Well, Derrick Henry is not going to work for what Kingsbury and Kyler Murray are trying to do. It's just not going to fit. Yeah. But at the same time, I mean, this idea of, like, maybe because Derek wasn't a first-round pick, maybe because Derek didn't star right away in the NFL. I don't know. But I'd rather have Derek Henry at what he's making right now and what he'll probably make next year, $10, $10.5 million, than have Zeke at $13.5 million, because Zeke is not the same Zeke since he got paid. I think Derek is a better running back than Zeke Elliott right now.
It's well, I don't know about that.
Running
but
the ball.
I would say this. I would agree with you from the standpoint that, you know, if you can get Derek at 9 or 10 versus Zeke at 14.5, absolutely take Derek. I mean, I would. You know, that's so, I mean, I don't think that's a big deal. But that's not going to be the question. The question is, Derek's agents are going to want Zeke money.
Mm-hmm.
Are you going to pay that Zeke money?
I mean, I cannot believe that.
I'm telling you now.
I know.
and there may not be a team in the league that will pay him that money.
I'm trying.
But my point is, I think that's what they're shooting for. And if that leads to them getting out there, mm-hmm. you know, there's always that wacko team.
And it's always the owner, isn't it?
For whatever reason.
Derrick Henry.
Yeah, for whatever reason. I'm an Alabama alum and whatever else I want. And so they say, yeah, we'll pay you 13.5. Well, you know, all of a sudden, as much as you love him, as much as you want him, I mean, there he goes.
See, I'm looking at a lot of these running backs who also receive at like a high level, and they're guys that are essentially receivers, like Austin Ekeler. And I think Eckler's a great role player at what Eckler does. Eckler, I guess, is the highest receiving running back in the league. Well, he can't do what Derrick Henry does with the ball.
Most receptions?
Most receiving yards. But he can't do what Derrick does with the ball. Austin Ekeler is not Derrick Henry.
Not running the ball.
No, but I want my running back to be a runner first. And I know that it's like, you know, they want half runner, half receiver. But I would take, if a guy's a truly great runner, I'll take that and then worry about the receiving later than have a guy who's like James White, who's an okay runner and an okay receiver. I want good at one or the other. And so I guess that's the point I'm making. So that's the question for the caller. 615-737-1025. Derrick Henry, it looks like, may end up leading the NFL in rushing this year. What does that mean for Derrick Henry? And also, do we consider Derrick Henry an elite player, even if he is not elite in terms of receiving? 615-737-1025. Plus, those other elite running backs, what are their receiving numbers? How do they compare to Derrick? We'll get to that coming up next. Jared, the GM, live from the Wholesaling Studio, powered by RumbleOn.com. It's ESPN 102.5, the game.
How much does a threat of Derrick, you think, directly correlate to the space that Ryan's finding? His yards per attempt is a ridiculously high number.
I don't know. I'm not sure. I know that we're trying to stay balanced. We're trying to run the football. We're trying to be efficient when we throw it. Stay in third and medium, convert possession downs, and get in the red zone and not try to kick field goals, try to score touchdowns.
Why does Vrabel have to, I don't want to say lie in that answer, but not tell the truth there?
He's not going to tell you anything.
But who cares about that? We know.
Two things you ought to know. He's not going to tell you anything, and two, he's not going to single out anybody. How many times have you heard him say, you know what? This guy, John Jones, is really killing it. He is the best. I mean, that's not what, he's talking about the team. We're trying to keep it balanced, et cetera.
So I really wondered how far down the receiving totem pole Derrick Henry is for running backs. Again, whether or not Derrick's an elite player. If it's just on running the football, Derrick Henry is no doubt an elite player in this league. Fair?
I think probably right.
Okay. He may lead the league in rushing. Here are the running backs who are ahead of Derrick Henry in terms of receiving yards in the NFL. Are you ready for this?
Okay.
Austin Eckler, Christian McCaffrey, James White, Dalvin Cook, Alvin Kamara, Leonard Fournette, Le'Veon Bell, Aaron Jones, Miles Sanders, David Johnson, Ezekiel Elliott, Tariq Cohen, Devontae Freeman, Duke Johnson Jr., Saquon Barkley, Nyheim Hines, Kenyon Drake, Nick Chubb, Jalen Samuels, Williams in Green Bay, whoever the hell that is, Chris Carson, Jalen Richard, Ronald Jones II, Freeman in Detroit, J.D. McKissick in Detroit, and then Derrick Henry.
Wow.
I mean, is that not amazing? Delanie Walker has more receiving yards than Derrick Henry on the season.
And a bunch of those guys, like the guy at New England, Seattle.
Chris Carson
is like leading the league in rushing, or at points in time during the year it was. So
he's in Derrick's rearview mirror now.
Gives you an idea.
But, no one would make the argument that Chris Carson's an elite back. I think everyone thinks Carson's a good player, but I don't think anyone would make the argument that Carson is an elite running back, which is the question of, is Derrick an elite running back? Let's get to your phones. As promised, John has been waiting patiently on Derrick Henry. He's up next. Go ahead, John.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
I just like to say that Derrick Henry is an elite running back in this league. He showed it last year. He's showing it this year. If we would have played him earlier in the season last year, we would have easily made the playoffs. If we would have depended on him earlier in this season, we would have won a lot more games that we were already winning. Derrick Henry is an elite running back in the NFL. Pay that man, and let's keep him here in Tennessee.
How much are you willing to pay him, though? Are you willing to pay him Ezekiel Elliott money?
Why not? Zeke's not
because
going
Because J.D. McKissick catches the ball better than Derrick Henry.
I don't care. We got receivers. Derrick's a running back. He's going to run over the whole team if you let him. Did you see how he dragged those guys down the field? He's running 120 yards a game this year. Pay that. He's a running back, not a receiver. We have receivers.
So I don't disagree with that. Thank you for your call, John. I don't necessarily disagree with that. I mean, in today's NFL, which a lot of people talk about, the NFL of today, I think the NFL of today, some of that stuff, now some of that's true. Some of that's just straight crap. You know, like, not to bag on Lamar Jackson, but everyone's like, this is the NFL of today. Is it, or is it the NFL of right now?
It's because the NFL of about 10 years ago.
Yes, Michael Vick and Vince Young and like these guys have all, okay. So I don't completely believe in the NFL of today, but everyone will tell you in the NFL today, you got to throw the ball out of the backfield. Derek ranks 26th in receiving yards. And I got to believe, I mean, he's got 200 receiving yards on the year. Weren't 75 from one play in the first game?
Yeah.
So Derek's got a $125 on the year outside of one play in which Cleveland screwed up because Cleveland stinks. Like, I don't know. I don't know how valuable Derek's receiving really is at the end of the day.
Well, it's...
Or how valuable his lack of receiving is.
Yeah, I mean, you have to look at it from this standpoint. Right now, we're getting away with it. But what happens over time is that people quit covering Derek. And that means they double somebody else. So all of a sudden, you want to throw the ball to Brown, and he's doubled. Well, now you can't throw it to Brown, so what do you do with it?
Nope.
So now you've got Derek, who's not helping you. Brown is being doubled. He's done. You know,
then you turn into the Patriots on Sunday night.
Yeah, what are your next options? Well, the next option is probably a sack.
But at the same time, doesn't Derek's ability as a runner make it almost impossible for you to double the receivers because somebody's got to be down there? Because if he's not, Derek's going to score a touchdown.
Well, yeah, but again, if it's third and 12, I mean, that's you're not worried about that.
I'm okay with Derek having to come out of the game on third. Eddie came out of the game on third and 12.
Right.
So I'm okay if Derek's got to come out on third and 12.
Well,
I just can't have Derek coming out on third and 5.
First and 20. I mean, you know, anytime you get behind the sticks, and we seem to lead the league in that category also, it makes it hard. Because now, you know, people are saying, hey, what about him? Don't worry about covering Henry. You know, you go ahead and double so-and-so.
How about this for Derrick Henry in the NFL? His rushing attempts in the league, third. Yards, third. Yards per attempt, tied for second. Touchdowns, second. Yards after contact, first. Yards after contact per attempt, first. His long of 74 is six. First downs, third. Avoided tackles, fourth in the league. That's coming from the F words pod.
Negative yards, first.
Well, we don't know if he's still first in that.
I think he is.
He was first in that by a long margin a handful of weeks ago. Now, we do not know if that is still the case.
I think it's pretty safe.
But I'm just saying. The other option here is, can they not coach Derek to be a better receiver?
I don't.
I mean, I'm sorry. Like, I know you can't just naturally.
I think we asked that question when he was a rookie.
No, but can't they coach him?
No.
I would say no. Can't you get better?
I would say he came from the best coaching environment in college football.
Yeah, but they didn't need him
to
coach.
Here, where you would like to think in the NFL, you've got some guys, whoever they may be, wherever they may be, that can coach somebody to catch. And we're now in, what's this, his fourth year? His fourth year, and it hadn't changed. So I'm going to say, no, you can't.
Let's go to Josh, who's up next on Derrick Henry. What's up, Josh?
Hey, guys. My thing is, we don't really target Henry very much, but if you look at his yards per reception, it's like 10 yards every time he catches the ball.
That's because he had one for 75 yards.
Well, yeah, but if we targeted him more, he would catch the ball and he would do damage. But my thing is, you got to sign him because you can't let him fall into the hands of another team like the Texans or something like that. He is easily the most feared running back in the NFL. Like, not just from like he might gain a lot of yards on us, but actual fear by the defense of trying to tackle him. So you can't let him fall into somebody else's hands. But J-Rob's got some work to do. I mean, we've got some players to sign like Tannehill, Henry, Logan Ryan, and both the tackle Kelly and Conklin. I mean, we're going to have to probably franchise one of those guys. But you can't let Derrick Henry fall into the hands of another AFC team and have to face him. You know, it just wouldn't be smart. So you got to get something done.
Thanks for the call. I do think J-Rob is going to have to trim some fat. Like Deion Lewis is $5 million, goodbye. You know, one of the two tackles.
There'll be some of that.
You know, I think they probably let Conklin walk, hope they get a comp pick, and then they move Kelly to right tackle. Like, I do think those kind of things are going to happen. I do feel deep down inside that Henry, Tannehill, and Ryan will all be back next year.
Yeah. I mean, we're going to have the money. And as much as we like those guys and know what they mean to this
team. Don't you wish you had the money back in the day?
J-Rob understands the same thing. And so they, you know, they'll get the question that I'm posing and you know, is when, I mean, in your mind, you're saying, okay, here's this back, and I love this back, and we want this guy back, but are you willing to, you know, are you going to pay whatever the toll might be? And that's the scary part.
Well, if, like, and I'm not, I don't know who Derrick Henry's a. I think it's Jimmy Sexton, but I don't know. But what do you think the first phone call conversation would be with an agent for you about Henry? Would it be for Zeke money? Would they want to start off saying, I got the best running back in the league?
Oh, absolutely. He's going to say, I got one of the top three right now, looking at the numbers. I got one of the top three running backs in the league. And that means we need to start about 14 and see where it goes from there. You know,
is this where your you get two things, I get two things philosophy?
No, we wouldn't even be that close. I the point being that I think after those conversations, you at least have an idea of what you're dealing with, you know, and so you're saying to yourself, and you know, I'm sure they have. We did, you know, you do enough work with Jimmy that you know Jimmy and you understand the way he does these things. And so it's not, you know, you're not dealing with a ton of unknowns. You know, the argument that was always the toughest for me was, and if you, depending on what you think of the guy that you're dealing with, you know, he's going to say, hey, I've got two teams out there that'll pay him $13.5, I promise. You know, now, is he BSing you? Or is it for real? And if it's if he's BSing you, you know, you may be tough enough to call his bluff. If you're not, then you the decision is, okay, are we going to pay him 13.5 to be sure we keep him? I mean, we only had, you know, 9.5 budgeted. So, you know, are we willing to, because that's, you know, you're talking about another player there.
Well, you know what the tough part is about this, at least for me, is I felt, this is just me, like I feel as if the idea was, hey, if you don't sign Marcus to a long-term deal, at least you'll be able to have all the money in the world you want to sign for everybody else. Now, the if Marcus makes it money relief fund is now, you know, just put tape over it and write the Tannehill money, because that's where I feel like that money is headed. Back to your phone call, 615-737-1025. Plus, at some point today, we'll get to what Deion Sanders has to say about the Titans, so get excited about that. I know Floyd cares so much what Deion thinks. Do not miss the pregame shows. That's right. Our coverage for Titans Raiders begins at 11 o'clock with the kickoff from 11 to 1, followed by the pregame show featuring former Titan receiver Chris Sanders, Jared and the GM, live from the George Jones, downtown on 2nd Avenue this Sunday from 1 to 3, prior to the Raiders taking on the Titans. The pregame show is brought to you by Wholesale Inc., powered by RumbleOn.com, Kubota Tractors, your Middle Tennessee Kubota dealers, and Boomba's Craft Pizza and Tap House. Jared and the GM, it's ESPN 102.5, the game.
The way that they've been playing lately and the way that Derrick Henry's running, what kind of challenge is that going to be for your run defense?
The challenge, man. I mean, Henry's unbelievable. He never tires. I've got friends in Tennessee. I'm from Tennessee. My wife's from Tennessee. Derrick Henry never gets tired, man. He's just criminy. This guy runs hard. He's a fun back to watch, and he doesn't want to go down. So it's going to be a challenge for us. I know we're looking forward to it. We're anxious to play a home game again, and we're going to need to play a lot better in all three phases to slow down the Titans and get our offense in gear.
Derrick Henry's unbelievable, man. I tell you what. Miss Gruden. I miss Gruden. Gruden says unbelievable. Now, Gruden also, with some clips that if he had said that 2 years ago, Vol fans would have gone bananas and said,
oh,
see,
yeah,
he's coming.
He should be the coach.
He's coming.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
You know, but we're talking about Derrick Henry. Again, he may lead the league in rushing. What's crazy is if Ezekiel Elliott was the running back in this game, or, you know, pick a big name running back, a true star running back, this would have been something like, wow. You know, look at this. It's Ezekiel Elliott and Derrick Henry, and it's a Josh Jacobs is no slouch in Oakland. This is a great running back matchup between the two teams.
And he's one of those all-purpose. I mean, he catches as many passes as he does run, and he is a big-time runner. Also an Alabama kid.
Oh, yeah. He's like part of what I call the Derrick family.
Yeah.
Bo Scarborough.
I'm sure they're tight.
To me, there are two. So I call Najee Harris, the current running back at Alabama, who wears 22. I call him Baby Derrick. And then Bo Scarborough, I call Derrick Jr. And I'm sure Josh Henry fits into the Derrick family on some level or another. But it's all part of you know, Derrick and his kids. Let's go to your phones. On Derrick Henry, David is up next. Go ahead, David.
Hey, guys. I just don't think that it's really a debate. I think Derrick Henry is definitely an elite running back. I think John Gruden's over there in Oakland planning the defensive strategy to stop Derrick Henry, which will hopefully open up the passing game to our receivers for that. And for Derrick Henry's receptions, I mean, he has to be respected always as a receiver as well for those screen passes. He's broken them multiple times.
I think he's broken two. Thank you for your call. He's broken two screen passes. Now, he has broken them. And you know Gruden is probably – well, Gruden probably doesn't really touch the defense, honestly. Paul Gunther is over there telling his guys, hey, if you – I know Henry doesn't light it up in the pass game, but if you take your eye off of Derrick Henry for 1 second – Derrick Henry's going to take that baby to the house. That is true. But he just, again, here are some of the guys that are ahead of him in receiving. Kenyon Drake, Jalen Samuels, Jalen Richard, J.D. McKissick. I mean, like, who the hell are those guys?
I don't know.
Okay, let's go to A.G. What's up, A.G.?
Yeah, after watching the Indianapolis Colts game, man, I gotta give a lot of praise to the offensive line too, though, because if you got a good running back, you got some guys in front of them blocking, and like I was saying about the offensive line, the coaches, they can plug whoever they want to behind this offensive line because they do their job. And also I trust, John Robinson to not bring in a guy like Bishop Sankey or somebody like that. So Derrick Henry is a great running back, but I'm not going to put my team in no type of debacle to re-sign a running back because, like y'all be saying, the league just ain't built like it. That's all I got.
So I don't know about that. Thank you for your call.
His sentiment is really one that's kind of taking over the league, you know?
I'm not going to go out of my way to pay Derrick Henry because...
Any running back.
Yeah.
They just don't think running backs are that valuable. Or I shouldn't say that. They're valuable, but easily replaceable. You know, if you don't get one this draft or you don't have one you like, you can go out and draft one. And you go through the list of all these guys that we're talking about. You know, when did the Raiders get their running back?
First round.
Was he a first round kid?
Yeah.
Okay, what about, I mean, like the Seattle kid? I mean, he's like a fourth rounder.
Yeah, no, they used, he was a seventh rounder, I think, for somebody
else.
Yeah. And they got a first rounder who's not doing anything, and then they got him.
And so I think, guys, people see these running backs that are coming in the league that are, you know, later picks that are actually pretty. Derek's a second.
I mean, Sony Michel was 30th, and Lamar Jackson was 31st. Yeah. Like,
so, I mean, there are those people that will tell you, well, the running back's not quite that important because we can get one next year.
Do you buy that? I mean, you're a personnel guy.
There's a little bit to it.
I think it is if you're not talking about the guy that is the star of your team. You know, like, I don't think that to ask the Rams how easy it is just to go find another running back to replace your running back because they're having a hard time with that.
Well,
I don't think the Cowboys could have gone out and gotten another Emmitt Smith.
Here's the other problem with Derrick, in my opinion. If he goes down, God forbid, knock on wood, who replaces him?
I don't know, but ask Green Bay if Rodgers goes down, who replaces him?
It's different with the quarterbacks. I mean, it's the same.
The quarterback here gets hit more than the running back?
It's the same with starting quarterbacks throughout the league. You know, if Brady goes down, who replaces him? If Carr goes down, who replaces him? I mean, that's true with quarterbacks throughout the league. But it's not true with running backs. You know, with running backs, most teams will tell you you have to have two running backs. And the problem is, if Derek were to go down, you can't replace him with another Derek. You have to replace him with the guy we're talking about. These running backs that are also JD receivers. McKissick. Yeah. That are also receivers and, you know, whatever else.
Going to need to draft Najee Harris from Alabama in the second round. And then you got baby Derek behind Derek. Let's go to Jay, who's up next. What's up, Jay?
Hey, guys. I appreciate it. Mr. Reese, I appreciate everything you say, man. You talk the Bible to me, and Jared, I don't pay a lot of attention to you. But
you do know who has who controls the button, right?
Yes, I do. But one thing I disagree on with Mr. Floyd is he talks about how many lost yardage that Derrick Henry has and everything. But wasn't there a guy once that played named Barry Sanders that had more lost yards than anyone in the league?
Yeah, I think that's right.
Yeah, so just keep feeding the dog, guys. We'll be okay. I appreciate it.
That's great.
That's like the guy that calls in and says, like, Brett Favre and Dan Marino threw interceptions. Yeah. And I'm like, yes, I get that. But still, like, God bless Derrick Henry. He ain't Barry Sanders.
And that's one of those, don't overthink it.
Yeah.
Just give him the ball.
I cannot argue with the thesis of that call.
That's right.
Cedric is up next. Cedric, you only call about quarterbacks. I'm stunned you've called in.
Well, no, because I tie it all together, baby, because I'm a football guy. Listen, the first six games of the year, Marcus Mediocre was the quarterback. And guess what Derrick Henry was? He was mediocre. He rushed for 69 yards per game, 3.8 yards per carry. We put T-17 in there, the MVP of these 2019 Tennessee Titans. And guess what Derrick Henry does? 120 yards per game, baby, 6.08 yards per game, 7 touchdowns. So when you get a real quarterback in there, Derrick Henry shines. When you get a mediocre quarterback in there, which we've seen 2019, Derrick Henry's awfully mediocre, like old number 8 back there. Get the bum out of town. Okay. Mario sucks.
Thanks, Cedric.
What do you think of that line of thinking? That Tannehill is the reason why Henry is having a success.
You can't argue with it.
Yeah, but Henry balled out at the end of last year.
Yeah, but I don't. That was fluke. This is for real. I mean, we were talking, and even last year, you know, I mean, he couldn't get excited about 4 games, and you know, we got to see what he can do through a whole season, you know, all those things, and even at the beginning for me, he was okay because you know. I always say, you go out, you get 70, 80, 90 yards a game. Hey, that's good enough for us to win with. Now, you go out and get, you know, 150 yards a game now. We can beat a lot of teams. Yeah, that's right.
I'm all for that. More of your phones on Henry. 615-737-1025. Plus Fitz is going to join us coming up. Jared and the GM. Hey, make your picks now for the 3 college football underdog teams you think will win this Saturday. Weekly winners will win a pair of tickets to the Franklin American Mortgage Music City Bowl at Nissan Stadium on Monday, December 30th. Hit up thegamenashville.com or the ESPN The Game Nashville mobile app and play today. Silly Underdog Picks is sponsored by Volunteer Hose and Gasket. Jared and the GM. It's ESPN 1025 The Game.
This is, I guess, the second to last game at that stadium. Is there something different about
that? I was talking to Mike Keith about that. You know, the when I'm old and retired, sitting around there, and he said, you know, the last game that they played in Oakland Coliseum, I coached in the one before that. I'm not really sure what the significance is. I mean, did you and Mike get together? Because he asked me that on Monday. Rhett's over there laughing. I, you know, the last game, I coached in the one before that one.
Vrabel. Cracking jokes on the Oakland Coliseum. I don't even know what it's called anymore. It's got a new name.
Oh, I have no idea.
The Oakland Coliseum. It's like Resurgence Bank Coliseum or something like that. Talk for a second, Floyd, while I search
in Oakland after
Ring
all
Central
been through,
Coliseum.
Yeah, that probably cost them
$12.
$25. Yeah.
Floyd Reese Coliseum.
There you go.
So we'll get back to your phones on Derrick Henry in just a second. But I figure if the Titans are going to play the Raiders, we might as well bring on the biggest Raiders fan we know, Jason Fitz. Okay, Fitzy, we're talking Derrick Henry first. I want to start on Derrick Henry. The fans love Derrick Henry. We love Derrick Henry. The team loves Derrick Henry. The country loves Derrick Henry, except that Derrick Henry doesn't really catch a ball out of the backfield. How valuable do you think Derrick Henry is, and do you think the Titans should break the bank at the end of the year to pay both Henry and Tannehill?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know about Tannehill. I don't know that it's going to take break the bank, but, you know, in today's modern salary cap structure, you want to keep somebody, you find a way to keep them. But, yeah, for Derrick Henry, heck yeah, you break the bank all day, every day. And you know, Field Yates tweeted this out the other day, and I've been sort of trying to lead a charge on this over the last month on Golic and Wingo. If you look back from December 1st to now, or even if you look over the last 16 games, over the last 16 games, the NFL's leading rusher, Derrick Henry. The most touchdowns in the NFL, Derrick Henry rushing the football. So, you know, you're right. He's not multidimensional, but at the same time, when you do what you do so stinking well that nobody can stop you, even if you aren't multidimensional, you get paid. And to me, that's pretty simple. I mean, Derrick Henry is going to get a massive contract, and frankly, I think he deserves it. He's a man amongst boys when he runs the football, and he's the reason that the Titans are where they are.
So we came into the year, Floyd and I, we had this argument about Derrick Henry, like, was he an elite back? Was he a top five back? And the names that we were kind of arguing at the time were Zeke, Saquon, Le'Veon Bell, Christian McCaffrey, Alvin Kamara. Now, Kamara's been hurt this year, but I don't think that you would argue right now Zeke, Le'Veon, or Saquon are ahead of Henry. McCaffrey, because of the receiving element, is definitely ahead of Henry. Where do you kind of see Derrick, and would you label him as an elite back?
Yeah, I'd label him as an elite back, and I'd say that, you know, without necessarily making a list in front of me, I'd say that he's a top four or five running back in the NFL, and I don't think you're right. Christian McCaffrey belongs in his own category, rightfully so, because what he's doing is so difficult to stop because he does it in such a varied way. In some ways, he's a little like Lamar Jackson at the running back position. Good luck trying to figure out how to stop Christian McCaffrey. So let's put him in a different category. But when you look across the board, you can make the argument that Saquon has been hurt, and that's part of why he hasn't been as productive. But I would put Derrick Henry in the same category as any of them. The problem is, historically so far, and this is the great issue that every team faces, you pay the running back, and for some reason right now, whether it's Todd Gurley getting paid or whether it's Zeke getting paid, you pay the running back a ton of money, and then all of a sudden it just goes away. And I haven't figured out why. No, none of us know why the production won't match, but it just doesn't match. But that's the risk you have to take. You got a game-changing back. I mean, if Derrick Henry goes away, what are the Titans going to do offensively? And so it feels to me like he has all the leverage here.
We know you're a Raider fan. You make no secret of that. Talk about your young running back.
Yeah, Josh Jacobs has been special. And look, when you think about the Rookie of the Year candidacy, I mean, Josh Jacobs is going to end up being the Offensive Rookie of the Year, rightfully so. He's had five 100-yard games this season. He's rushed for over 1,000 yards. And he's been on essentially a pitch count, which is really one of the interesting things about Gruden. Gruden comes into a game plan seemingly having already decided how many carries Josh Jacobs is going to get. What makes Jacobs special is watch what the other running backs do behind the same offensive line. Where the other running backs might only get 3 yards, 4 yards, Josh Jacobs is going to get 5 or 6. And he's been doing it with a fractured bone in his shoulder since week 7. So, you know, I think Josh Jacobs is sort of an under-talked about part of what's going to make the Raiders draft this year, particularly superstar level, is because Josh Jacobs he's the reason the Raiders are successful, much like Derrick Henry. I mean, these two teams, it always seems like the Titans and Raiders are living in the same spectrum. When they're both good, when one's good, they're both good. When one's bad, they're both bad. And they always seem to be built somewhat similarly. And I would say that that's the same thing that they're trying to build on both sides.
Who, along those lines, talk about your receivers. Talk about the Raiders' receivers.
There are none. And
Tyrell Williams.
Yeah, last week they had, going into, with 2 minutes left in the game, one wide receiver had caught a ball. One, over the course of it. Tyrell Williams has a bad foot and has been a disappointment. But I'm telling you right now, the craziest thing about the Raiders, and you'll see this when they play on Sunday, they're essentially not going to involve their wide receivers in the game plan. They built an offense around Antonio Brown, and we all know what happened there. So they haven't found an answer. They trade for guys and cut guys flippantly at that position. The Raiders are going to come in. They're going to stack with big tight ends, and they're going to get Darren Waller, number 83, is their star tight end that they've already given a new deal to. Darren Waller is going to be a key in this game as he is a key in every game because the tight ends are really the only outlet that Carr has that he can trust to throw the ball to. So it is the most limited wide receiver offense I can ever remember seeing for the Raiders, and that's saying so.
You know, along those lines, that Waller kid, I mean, I know he's kind of come out of, I don't know where they found him, but, I mean, he is special.
Yeah, and he was a Baltimore practice squad kid, and, you know, frankly, he was an addict, and he's been really open about that. First, over the summer, a lot of people saw it on Hard Knocks. One of the things that's interesting is if you follow any of the guys that write for the Raiders or write about the Raiders for any of the different sites like The Athletic, they've been talking about Darren Waller since the minute he got into camp, and the difference last year when they signed him is that's right when he was getting sober, and now he's sober. And sobriety is something that's really changed his life that he takes seriously, and they help him and support him, and they're putting him in meetings every time they go out of town, and they've done a really good job of keeping him charged and keeping him on track. And a sober Darren Waller is a weapon, and he is going to, right now, he's a top tight end in the league. He has the potential to be the best tight end in the league, which is saying something given the generation of tight ends are on that, which is what's impressive because you know the Raiders are going to run the football. You know the Raiders are going to throw to Darren Waller. Everybody knows that. John Gruden's been able to scheme that to work more often than not. So it's pretty impressive to watch a limited offense work, and Waller's a big part of why.
Jason Fitz with us, ESPN Radio, first and last Golic and Wingo. Fitz, do you think with Ryan Tannehill the Titans will make the playoffs, and how much of a threat are they in the AFC?
I don't think they're a huge threat in the AFC, but I think Vrabel's done such a good job, and that defense is so stinking good. This Sunday, and you know me, I'm not a hot take artist, guys, but I would say this Sunday is make or break for both of these teams. Because what's going to happen is one of these teams wins, and then let's see where it goes from there. But the Raiders in front of them for the next 3 weeks have the Jaguars, the Chargers, and the Broncos. They have three straight four-win teams ahead of them. So the Raiders have to get through this obstacle. If they get through this obstacle, 10-6 is pretty likely, and it would give them the tiebreaker. So if the Titans lose on Sunday, making the playoffs is going to be difficult. Conversely, if the Titans win on Sunday, then all of a sudden they got two games left with the Texans. They control their own destiny to win their way into the AFC South. I think the Titans are and should be a playoff caliber football team. But once they get there, man, it is hard for me to see how they can match up specifically against the Chiefs, even though the Chiefs are susceptible to the run. I don't know how you stop Patrick Mahomes.
They beat the Chiefs 3 weeks ago.
Pardon?
They beat the Chiefs 3 weeks ago.
Yeah, but we've got a shell of Patrick Mahomes right now. We've got a shell of Patrick Mahomes. Like, Mahomes looked bad against the Raiders last week. Are we going to find
that? He had 446 against the Titans. I thought he was lighting it up.
Yeah, and he looked again. He is a shell of, like, watch last week's game against the Raiders. He's not as mobile right now. His knee, I don't think, is okay. His shoulder hasn't been the same. Like, he has been banged up since the preseason, frankly. So when you look at Patrick Mahomes, while he put up a bunch of yards against the Titans still won that game. That is a shell of Patrick Mahomes. And I'm still going to believe that by the playoffs he gets himself healthy because that's the only shot that they have. And then the Ravens are by far, by the way, better than everybody in the AFC. Like, the Ravens could just – they can tip a hat, and I think they're going to cakewalk into the Super Bowl from the AFC side.
Fitzy, last thing for you. Give me your score prediction for Sunday between your Raiders and the Titans.
And this is really going to be interesting, guys. And I'm not just saying that because we're talking to each other. I'm torn on this game. Derek Carr's been very successful against the Raiders. You guys know that. The Raiders defense is really susceptible up the middle. Their linebackers and safeties aren't very good, but they have for the most of the year, they've been good against the run. Derek Henry will test that. I think the Raiders are going to be able to get after Tannehill. This one's tough. I honestly, hurts me to say for you guys, but I think the Raiders win this game. This game feels like a 24-21 type game, but I think the Raiders win it. I also wouldn't be surprised if Derrick Henry suddenly goes off for 200 yards and I'm sitting here crying in my beer.
Sounds good. Vince, look forward to hearing you tomorrow.
Thanks, Vince.
Of course, on the radio. And as always, we'll talk to you next week.
Have a great week, boys. Appreciate you.
See you, Fitzy. Jason Fitz, ESPN Radio, joining us here on the show. I know exactly how he feels, but could that not be the biggest flip-flop of all time? I'll take the Raiders, but Derek may run for 500 yards and the Titans win that game. How about that? Fitz says he thinks Derek's going to leak back. Also, doesn't the idea that, Patrick Mahomes is a shell of himself, which I don't agree with, but
doesn't that give you more optimism that the Titans could make a run in the AFC playoffs? I mean, just I think going to Kansas, beating Kansas City for a fourth time in a row would be really hard for me to envision the Titans doing.
Yeah.
But they do have the magic sauce against Andy Reid for whatever reason. New England in New England, I can't get over New England. You know, that is one that you're going to have someone else take them out. I still think you would be in a ball game with the Ravens. It would be a ball game. It would be close. Now, the biggest difference is the Ravens can hit a 75-yard field goal. You can't, you know, extra points are a little iffy over on this side. But on the other side, we'll get back to your Derrick Henry calls. 615-737-1025. Plus, I got some numbers that make it very hard for me to believe that what a lot of the fans want won't happen. We'll get to that as well. Jared and the GM right here. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game.